In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. This morning I want to talk about a happy subject, our home. Home, sweet home, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. Indeed, I want to talk about an even happier subject, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, in our homes. That's the commendable sequence that we see in today's gospel story. Jesus leaves the synagogue. Surely he was happy to be there in the synagogue, preaching the word. But he leaves the synagogue, and he's happy to go into the home of Simon Peter. And may that always be so with you and me too. That when we get up from the pews in this dear church and we head home, that we will not go home lonely, but rather we will bring our Lord Jesus with us. And he is willing to do that. He is glad to do that. He is glad to come and to dwell in our homes. In my childhood home, my parents had this rose-colored framed old picture. I've scanned it and I put it on your bulletin cover. The children are still up there. I don't know that they are, but I can show it to them afterwards. It has this saying on it: Christ is the head of this house, the unseen host at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Now, this isn't just a pious, sentimental saying that nobody cared about. My parents cared about it. This was kind of the principle of their home. They tried to so live that their home, too, was a sacred place. Why? Because they believed that Jesus was willing to be there. Carol and I have tried to follow their pattern. So we still have this painting. It's still this old picture. It still hangs on our kitchen wall. It still is a kind of high ideal that we believe in. Our Lord Jesus, he's willing to leave the church and to go with us into our homes. I don't know much about Peter's home. Let me put this down. I'm sure it didn't need to be a mansion in order for Jesus to be willing to go there. The question of mansions, we can leave that to Jesus. He's gone to his heavenly Father to prepare a mansion for us. In the meanwhile, he's willing to enter into any home. Doesn't need to be a mansion. It can be as lowly as ever. He's willing to go there. I imagine about Peter's home that it was a rather humble place. The reason I suspect that is because the way the Gospel of St. Matthew tells the story, you get the feeling about these two brothers, Peter and Andrew, that not only were they just plain, ordinary working men, but also they were rather poor working men. The hint about that is that they stand on the seashore and they cast their nets out into the water and try and bring in a catch. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Straightway they left their nets and followed him. But then, a little bit later, we hear the story of the call of two other brothers, James and John. They also are fishermen, but they seem to be the more prosperous kind of fishermen. They have a boat, or rather their father, Zebedee, has a boat. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. So I imagine in that town there, Capernaum, the home of James and John was a bit fancier than the home of Peter, but that's okay. This story takes place in the home of Peter, and Jesus is glad to be there. Why? Because there is someone in need. It is characteristic of our Lord that he does not come to be served. Rather, he comes to serve. There is someone there in that home who needs him. Each of us in our homes, we need him. He is glad to go into our homes. So again, let's picture this home as being kind of a humble home, like the one in the cottage there in the picture. By the way, Carol and I have a set of china with a cottage on the plates, and I love that cottage on the plates. And I once said to Carol, "I want to retire there." And Sam, looking on, said, "What? You want to retire on a plate?" Well, maybe not that humble. But however humble it is, when we retire, God will provide. And the great thing is, Jesus is willing to come and dwell there in our home. So, again, I imagine Peter's home to be a humble one. As you approach it, you see signs of fishing. Maybe you see a fishing net draped over some bushes drying. You see some muddy boots on the steps to not track mud into the house. You see a rain slicker on a peg. You go into the house. Peter's wife is not there. Oh, I wish she were. I'm so curious about Peter's wife. I know he had one, because after all, this is a story about Peter's mother-in-law. Furthermore, we hear St. Paul refer to Peter's wife, almost with a tone of envy. I mean, St. Paul is talking about his prerogatives as an apostle. He says he has the right to other joys like the other apostles. Do we not have the right to our food and drink? Do we not have the right to be accompanied by a wife as the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas, that is Peter? So Peter had a wife. I'd like to know about her. I'd like to know what that lady was like. I would also like to know what she thought of her man, that impetuous, slow to understand, born leader of a man. But we have no sign of Peter's wife. We simply have his mother-in-law. When Jesus and the disciples enter the house, they immediately tell him that she is sick. Perhaps they are embarrassed that there's nobody there to provide hospitality for the Lord, as if the men just sit around like bumps on the log and do not have enough civility or training and graciousness to even put out some crackers and water. She's sick. So they tell Jesus about it. And Jesus immediately takes her by the hand and lifts her up. And she puts her gratitude and her faith into good practical expression. She immediately provides hospitality for the family. It's a domestic scene. That's why I love this story. It doesn't take place in the temple, not in a synagogue, not on a mountaintop, not in a tempestuous sea. It simply takes place in a home like you and I have. In this home, there is someone who needs her. So Jesus hastens there. Let's leave off for now imagining this home of Peter. And instead, let's bend this story, let's direct it toward our own lives. This Jesus from long ago, he still lives. I know death intervened, but he overcame that. He still lives. He's alive. Part of the trick of the gospel is to understand that as he was then, he is now. And still ministers, still loves to minister in the same way. So this Jesus, he's still alive. As he was in the synagogue back then, so we are glad to believe he's in this church now. If you had to point to him, I tell this to the children, you point to the Blessed Sacrament. But he's here. He promised to be where two or three are gathered together in his name, and that's us. That's us. So the same Jesus is here in this church. And when we go home, we get up from the pew and we go home out of this dear church, he is glad to come with us all the way to our home. Now, in our homes, we might have family members. Wherever we are, we have friends. We have people entrusted to us. And it is with them, these people entrusted to us, it is with them as it is with each of us individually, which is that there are what are called seasons in life. There are good seasons. Seasons of spiritual refreshment. Seasons when life seems to be going along well. Seasons when the sun shines. But it is also the case that sometimes there are people in our own family and among our own friends who are in a rough season. They are low. They are discouraged. They don't care if it rains all day. It could rain all day. They don't care because they are down. The dawn does not rescue them anymore. Or maybe their spirits are fine, but their health is breaking down. Or maybe their spirits are fine and their health is okay, but they are being worn out by financial stress. Poverty is grinding them down. Now, the children looking on might have no sense of this, and God bless them. I hope that's true. I hope the children do not understand the grind that poverty might be wreaking upon their parents. And yet, it's true. For any of us, if we will stop and pay attention to the people in our house or among our friends, we will notice that some of them are struggling. For them, it is a hard time of life. Then, let us take stock of the idea that you and I, in our individual lives, are glad to have the company of Jesus. After all, he is the great physician of body and soul. You and I bet, can give the blessed testimony that Jesus has been with us, and he has seen us through some hard times on raging tempestuous seas. He has been with us, and now we are happy again. Let that testimony, let that conviction that it is good to have the comfort of Jesus in your life, It is good to have his shepherding of your life into the paths of holiness. Let this sense that it is good to have the divine friendship with Jesus move you to say some word to those in your own house or among your own friends who likewise could profit. Profit from the great physician of our bodies and souls, even Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom belongs the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.